I need some more coffee before doing this.
Welcome to the second episode of your new favorite podcast. Of course, if this is your first time tuning in, then it's really just your first time, but it's still likely going to be your new favorite podcast. Anyway, this is a Practical WordPress Development Podcast. It is the second episode, and I am stoked to be recording it because it means that enough of you listened to the first episode, submitted questions, gave me feedback, and gave me enough content to at least record 15 to 20 minutes worth for what you're listening to right now. And one of the coolest things about doing a show like this is that, well, aside from it being the fact that I'm doing a show like this, is that when I set out to do it, it was to answer questions about WordPress development. And the verdict is still out as to whether or not this is going to be something people want to listen to for the long term. But I did get enough feedback just from the first episode that I could provide structure around this episode. So it's going to be divided into three segments. The first part, I'm going to follow up with some material from the last episode. I'm going to answer a question that was submitted by someone. I wanted to try to fit two into this episode, but I did run out of time, so I'm going to table it till the next one. And then I've got some leftovers. I don't know. I'll come up with a wittier name for the last part of the show sometime later. Leftover sounds gross, but that's what it is. So with that said, let's get into it. All right, if you didn't listen to the first episode, I don't take it that personally, but this first segment of the show is going to more or less follow up with something that I discussed in the last episode. Specifically, it's around time management. And I know for a lot of people, this is one of those things that it's either something that you love to talk about or that you are really interested in reading about, listening to other people talk about, things like that. And for some people, it's a total turnoff. So if this isn't your thing, you can totally skip it. But if you're interested in this, the two things I'm going to be talking about are events and tasks. And I'm going to talk about how they're defined, how they're different, how they're similar, and how they are related. Before I do that, there's one thing I want to mention, and this is something that I never hear in podcasts or that I've read in books or articles or whatever it is, however it is you can get information about time management. Everyone seems to have this prescription as to how you should be managing your time, or they have a prescription of how you can be managing your time, or a recommendation or a system or whatever. But one of the things that people don't talk about is your personality and the role that it plays. And I think that it plays a larger role than people want to admit. And that might be why we don't talk about it. But all I'm going to say is that I think personality plays a major role in how you opt to manage your time. Some people are more fast and loose with their calendar. Others are extremely type A. And though I definitely tilt towards being more type A about my, I am rigid about my time. I don't think that it's the best way to manage it, but I think it's the best way that I can manage it for my personality type. And so if there was one piece of advice that I could give, regardless of how you opt to manage your time, it's this: find a system that plays up to your strengths. Don't try to shoehorn your personality into a system that doesn't work for you. With that said, I'm ready to talk about events and tasks. And so the first thing I'm talking about is events. Simply put, these are the things that go on my calendar. In essence, these are the things that take up a set amount of time. They can be meetings. They can be times that I'm going to spend working out. They can be appointments that I have. They can be phone calls. They can be times that I have to go to the doctor, or they are kids' activities, whatever. It has a fixed amount of time. It has a definitive start time and a definitive end time. Now, I do recommend buffering it a little bit in case something starts early, or maybe you're running late in traffic and then something runs over. Maybe a phone call goes longer. Maybe an appointment doesn't go as scheduled. Whatever the case, if you say that you have a 2-hour event, maybe a lot 2.5 hours, maybe a lot 2 hours and 45 minutes. That way you have some breathing room in between the things that you need to get to. Now, in terms of what you opt to use to manage your time, I don't have a recommendation. Some people, like my wife, prefer to use a calendar on which you write everything down. And some people want to be analog about it. They use their notebooks. They use a paper calendar spread out on their desk. They use all of these different sticky notes up on their walls with a calendar that's been hanging up for who knows. Maybe somebody even uses a whiteboard. I don't know. But I, on the other hand, prefer to use everything that's digital. So if you're curious, I use Fantastical or Fantastical, depending on how you pronounce it. But that's generally because I like to have everything available on my devices. So that way I can set, and then further, I can segment each calendar much easier through color codes or just through separate calendars. I can turn certain calendars on, some calendars off. So I can have one for business. I can have personal. I can have exercise. I can have family. I can even track my wife's events by, this takes a little bit of work, but I use her calendar and then I sit down and I take what she's jotted down. I put it in, I color code it for her into Fantastical. And then I have an overview of my week for every single week that I do this. On the other hand, tasks are things that you need to do, but you don't necessarily know how much time they will take. You don't even necessarily know how much time a single task will take. That's why it's harder to put them on a calendar. And this is why for many, time boxing can become so important in getting their day-to-day stuff done. And I'll talk a little bit about that more momentarily. But let's say you're working on a project for a customer. And a project is made up of tasks. And so each day you're going to sit down and say, I'm going to accomplish X number of tasks. Maybe one day it's one task. Maybe one day it's three tasks. But it really depends on the requirements and it depends on how much time you have in that day. In order to help with this, it might be setting aside 2 hours every day of the week to complete as many tasks as you can in that window of time. So let's say from noon until 2, that's when you're working on the tasks for this customer. And that's essentially what time boxing is. You're just allocating time to work on tasks for a specific thing, for a specific project, whatever. And that's the relationship between events and tasks. So even though events have a definitive start time and end time, and tasks do not, they can work together when you allocate time on your calendar to achieve certain tasks. Now, just as with calendars, I don't have a preference or a recommendation as to how to manage your tasks. Some people use notebooks and they like to use things like the bullet journal or a simple moleskin or just notebook paper. And all that's cool. Other people like to do things such as they use the getting things done approach. And they apply that method using a notebook or they apply it using software. Personally, I am a fan of using Getting Things Done and then using the app Things by Cultured Code. That's something that I've tried a variety of apps out there for managing tasks, but that's what I always come back to. Now, I do take it a step further in that I have a set of tasks that I'm going to do tomorrow. And then I have certain tasks that I do daily. I have certain tasks that I do weekly. I have certain tasks that I do monthly. And I have certain tasks that I do yearly. Now, I'm not one of those people who sits down and plans out things 5 years in advance, let alone 3 years. But I do try to look at my year and say, okay, by the end of the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and by the end of the year or so on, I want to have this much stuff done or I would like to have achieved this. So you can get as granular as you want or you can be as open as you want. Again, like I said at the beginning, this is about finding a system that plays up to your strengths, because what it is you want to take control of the day versus letting the day take control of you. So however you opt to manage your events and however you opt to manage your tasks, as long as it's playing into your strengths, or as long as you're willing to bend a little bit, maybe develop a new habit, you're going to be able to take control of the day versus letting it take control of you.
Today's episode is brought to you by WPSessions.com. WP Sessions produces training for WordPress professionals and has more than 130 hours of content that you won't find anywhere else. You'll find sessions that help you grow your development skills, improve your business, and serve clients better. You'll also find exclusive discounts for the services and products that you need and want. Visit WP Sessions today and start learning directly from well-known WordPress experts. Head over to wpsessions.com/tom and watch your first session for free.
With all of that said, it is time to get into arguably my favorite part of the show, and that is when I get to answer a question that is submitted by a listener. So let's do that right now.
What factors do you take into consideration when deciding between various PHP frameworks such as Laravel, WordPress, Symfony, etc.?
Man, I love this question. At first, I wasn't going to answer it because I didn't think that I could provide a sufficient answer, because for the last 8 years, I've done nothing but work exclusively with WordPress. It isn't to say I'm not familiar with the other frameworks that are out there. Early in my career, I did .NET, and then I did Rails. I was familiar with Sinatra, and I keep up with Laravel, though I've never built anything with it. And I don't anticipate moving away from WordPress anytime soon. However, the factors that I take into account when it comes to determining if I'm going to use WordPress or something else aren't really present, because I work exclusively with WordPress. My business is built on WordPress, and that is what it is I choose to use as my foundation of choice. But I thought this was a really good opportunity to talk about why I think frameworks and foundations, or frameworks and application foundations, are different, and why we need to be very precise in our terminology. So out of the box, frameworks can't do anything. That is, you can't open a framework, launch it in a browser, and start doing any work. It has no feature set. It has nothing that you can actually do with regard to writing to or from the database. You have to build something with it before functionality is available. It can be crude functionality. You know, if I remember correctly, you can do the scaffolding for a Rails application pretty quickly. But out of the box, as soon as you install the framework, it doesn't do anything. It just provides you with a set of tools. WordPress, on the other hand, is a functioning application whether you opt to extend it or not. And that's why I call it a foundation or an application foundation. Now, as I said earlier, I do build my software on top of WordPress. I take advantage of its APIs and the stack on which it's built. That is the database system, its set of APIs, the way that it can render data via its templates, things like that, to provide functionality. The majority of what I build is in the form of a plugin, since that's how it can be activated within WordPress itself. Further, it allows me to do object-oriented programming. It allows me to do things such as unit testing, and it allows me to do a pretty strong separation of concerns so that the functions and the functionality that I have can be encapsulated in objects that are separate from WordPress and that focus on the domain or the problem, the business problem, whatever terminology you want to use. The problems that I'm trying to solve can be encapsulated in classes that are specifically focused on that problem. This, however, is where we can start getting into frameworks, libraries, and so on. So I personally have a set of components, at least that's what I call them, that I use for most of my projects. These include abstract classes, base classes, and other libraries, all of which are loaded by Composer. Now, these libraries, some of them are third party, some of them are my own. And then I have an organizational structure that I follow, such as using certain patterns for creating models of the data, views that can display the information, and other utilities that can hold the objects that can be passed around the application, like registry, repositories, and things like that. And everything's organized via namespaces. And so I have a logical organization and a virtual organization for how all of this stuff is organized within my project or within the solution that I'm providing for someone else. So that said, I know this doesn't answer the question directly, but since I don't really determine what framework to use, I thought it best to share how I do use WordPress to provide solutions for other people. All right, this is the part of the show that's called Leftovers. Maybe I should call it Etc. or other things that didn't fit or whatever. This is where I cover all of the other stuff that I did not find a way to fit into the rest of the show. So one of my goals for 2019 is to read more than I read last year. And last year, one of my goals was to read more than I read the year before. Now, to put this into context, or let's see, last year I read 12 books. Two of them I read twice, so I don't recount them, but they were that good or they were that helpful. I am married to a voracious reader, and I cannot italicize, underline, and bold that enough. Now, this isn't a competition or anything, because she would beat me at it every single time, but it does make me want to simply sit down and read more than do anything else outside of music. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, and you'll see why. But I tend to read anything from science fiction and fantasy to business and philosophy. And then I tend to recycle those. Like, I can't camp out on one topic for too long or one genre for too long. So right now, I am reading the final book in the Space Trilogy by C.S. Lewis. The name of the book is called That Hideous Strength. So if you're a fan of 1984, Brave New World, some elements of Fahrenheit 451, then I think you would like That Hideous Strength. It's not even necessary to read the other two books in the Space Trilogy, at least as far as I am concerned, as far as I am in the book right now. Now, as far as music is concerned, there was once upon a time, anyone who's read my blog or heard me on other podcasts, you know that once upon a time, I thought that I was going to make a career out of music. Yet here I am talking to a microphone in my office by myself. So you can see that even though I don't do that, I'm a huge fan of music. I mean, who's not, right? Like, a lot of us sit down and listen to music when we're working, when we're driving, when we're running, when we're doing a lot of things. But I have been into music and playing various instruments since I was in sixth grade or so. And if you follow me on Instagram or watching my Insta stories, you'll see, again, I can't believe I'm dropping his name in two consecutive episodes. Matt Medeiros has said that my Insta stories are, I think he said that they were basically an open mic. Now, I don't sing. No one would like it if I did. I wouldn't have any friends or followers if I did. But all of that to say, I am a huge fan of music. And when I'm not at my computer or reading or hanging out with my family, I am usually going to be doing something with a guitar. I don't have any other instruments in the house right now. Right now, I am currently digging on Maggie Rogers' album, Heard It in a Past Life. And she has this vibe that I've been trying to discern for the last couple of weeks that, on one hand, it's like there's a little bit of classic rock, a little bit of Janis Joplin, even a little some elements of maybe certain Fleetwood Mac tracks. And then there's also a little more modern, I don't want to say pop, because I'm personally not a fan of pop music. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just it doesn't appeal to me. There, if you are a fan of classic rock, I highly recommend giving her album a listen. You can check it out on Spotify or Apple Music, or maybe you can find an album if you still go buy those in a store. I don't know. I don't ever leave my house. The reason that I bring this up is because I had a question about music that I did not have a chance to get into this particular episode, and I will in the next episode. Given that this is the second episode, I want to thank everyone who tuned in to the first episode and shared it across their various social media channels. They wore the t-shirts, they got the tattoos, they did all the things that I asked. I really appreciate it. And this is very much a learning process for me, so I'm still tweaking the proverbial knobs to get things as tight as possible. In the meantime, though, please continue to submit your questions, your feedback, and continue to listen. As long as that's happening, I'm going to keep hitting record, because as much as production and incorporations of the sounds and the transitions and all of that can be fun, nothing's going to actually top sharing this information with all of you. Remember, you can find information about this episode and the previous at tommcfarland.com/podcast. And you can also find the notes for this specific episode at tommcfarland.com/podcast-episode-2. I want to thank WP Sessions again for sponsoring the show. Please do go check it out. I highly recommend it, especially with the discount in hand. Here's a second episode finding its way into your ear holes. So keep submitting your feedback, comments, questions, criticisms. I don't really care that much about that, but if you got it, I guess I'll listen, or I'll read it, or I'll just discard it, or throw it in spam, or forward it to someone I don't like. But anyway, on a more serious note, thank you very much, and may there be many more episodes to come.